Amen. Do please be seated. We've just been singing a few songs that tie into the series that we're studying currently, which is on Revelation. Obviously, we've sung quite a lot the last few months about the Lion and the Lamb because it ties in so well with where we are in our study. That study is coming to an end. This is the final week on Revelation, and in a minute, Janet's going to read for us, and Ruth's going to just open God's Word as a plenary, as a summing up from what we've learned of Revelation. But we've just said, we've just sung the words, "Receive our adoration, how wonderful you are. Every soul you've saved sings out. Every heart resounds." Is that your experience, I wonder? Is that where we currently are? Do we give thanks to God in all things when we experience something good? Whether we experience something wonderful? Is your first thought to say, "Wow, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, God, for that, for the good things that you give us"? Or is it just, you just roll with it because that's life. You know, these things just come with life. That's the way it is. It's just one of those things. That's a good thing. Or when you go through tough times, what's the first thing that we do? Do we just say, that's life? Or do we actually pray to God to help, to strengthen, to sustain us through those tough times? What's our first thing? I wonder where do you fit in with that, I wonder? Because I talk to people, I know that in our congregation here, in both congregations, I know that this thing has gone on in people's lives, and actually we can testify to how God is working and how God is there and how God is moving in people's lives and shaping things. And we can look back and say, wow, fantastic. God's definitely answered that prayer. And if you've ever thought about praying, do come and join us on a Tuesday if you're free, 10 o'clock prayer time. We've got a great group and we pray together, and we've seen so many answered prayers in the last 18 months. It's been amazing. Hang on, one more over here.
Thank you. This is sounds like a small thing, but because it's topical, it's seasonal, and it fits with your theme, Ian. My husband, Greg, being from America, we observe Thanksgiving, which was Thursday this week. And I know it was originally something quite specific, a specific festival to a specific time and space and group of people. It's grown into something national, which is wonderful, and it makes us stop and think all of the things we have to be thankful for. And we forget about the commercial implications of it and Black Friday and all that. We just try and celebrate Thanksgiving for what it is. So that's what we did this week.
Fantastic. Thank you, Janet. And it's good, isn't it, to stop and just to give thanks, to take stock and actually say thanks. We have so many good things. Sometimes we just take it for granted. I wonder, do we ever stop and say thank you to God for the good gifts that he gives us? And one of the good gifts that he gives us is his word, which is his Bible, the Bible that we have to read. And often we don't, but it's there to teach, to guide, to disciple us. And we're going to hear as Janet comes to read now to us.
The first reading is taken from the first book of Revelation, the Revelation to John, beginning to read at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the word of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The second reading is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 28, beginning to read at verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Thanks be to God.
May I speak in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this morning's address is a summary of what we've been learning about Revelation over the last few weeks. And it's quite appropriate that we think about Revelation on this particular Sunday, which is the last Sunday of the church's year. It's also known as Christ the King Sunday, when we remember Jesus coming in his glory. And then obviously next week it's Advent Sunday, and we start to remember and pray for Christ's coming again. So it's quite appropriate to finish that cycle of sermons on this Sunday. So this is just a summary, this is just a review of what we've looked at, what we've learnt, and what Revelation has to teach us. So we know that the book of Revelation was written by the Apostle John, around about 95 AD, in lots of symbolic language, to give a message to the first Christians, because at the time they were being heavily persecuted by the Emperor Domitian. John had been exiled to the island of Patmos. And he writes down in Revelation the vision given to him, a vision of judgment, a vision of warning, and finally, a vision of hope. John himself had been a witness to Christ as he walked the earth. He was probably aware of the poor circumstances of Jesus' birth. So imagine John thinking, this baby, born in a place that wasn't his home, in an obscure village, in Roman-occupied Palestine. A baby that grew up to be a carpenter, learning his trade in his earthly father's workshop. As a man, walking through the towns and villages and countryside, healing, preaching and teaching, training other people to carry on his work. Finally, he was falsely accused, put on trial and condemned to death. God on earth, the suffering servant who humbly lived and died to bring us life. That is the man that John knew. And in Revelation, that is God that John describes as returning to us. But that return will be very different to the earthly beginnings. He will burst into history, says John, announced by trumpets and angels. All the world will see and know that he is the Christ. He is the Lord. He is the King. Those who love him will rejoice, greeting their Saviour with songs and with joy in their hearts. But his enemies will be filled with fear. They will gather their troops and they will march against the army of God. But, says John, no one can overcome Christ. He will win that final battle. He will reign victorious forever. Jesus, born a humble baby, will be a powerful conquering king and judge. And that is the basic message of Revelation, which we've been hearing over the last few weeks. John witnessed to Jesus on earth, telling his persecuted followers that Christ will return again to vindicate the righteous and to judge the wicked. Revelation is also a book of warning. Things aren't as they should be in those original churches, and John calls them to repent and to live righteous lives. And although John gave that warning 2,000 years ago, it still stands as a message for us today, warning and hope. John's vision in Revelation begins with a message to the churches. He praises them for their strengths and he warns them about their weaknesses. Each letter was then written to a church that existed. They might not now, but we can still have that message applied to us today. Both in the church and in our lives, we must constantly fight the temptation to become loveless, immoral, lenient, compromising, lifeless, or casual about our faith. The opening chapters are a warning to Christians who have grown apathetic, but they're also an encouragement to those who are enduring hardship and struggling. It's a reassurance that good will triumph over evil. And the book then goes on to describe events which will occur at the end of time. Often we are tempted to see in contemporary events many of the things that John describes, famines, plagues, disasters. But we should remember that we can't work the future out based on that. We can't predict the end of time. We don't know when Jesus will come again because Jesus himself said, no human will know that. Only God knows that. We can say that Revelation is symbolic of the struggle between good and evil and can be applied at every point in history. So it can help us to prepare for the future and to live obediently in the present. Revelation, as we've discovered, is a difficult book, but we shouldn't avoid it. It helps us, firstly, by reminding us of God's sovereignty. God is king. God is greater than any power in the universe. He cannot be compared with any earthly leader. John reminds us that God is in control, and he will safely bring those who love him into eternal life. God cares for us, and we can trust him with our lives. And of course, secondly, it does assure us that God will return. Christ will come to earth as the Lamb of God that was sacrificed for the sins of the world. He will return as a lion, the rightful ruler and the conqueror who will defeat evil. And that should give us the strength to continue with our faith. Just as that book was written to encourage persecuted Christians, it should encourage us today. We can look forward to Jesus' return and know that we can be strong in our faith. Third, the book reminds us of how important it is to be faithful to God. John wrote to encourage the church, amongst other things, to resist the demands to worship the Roman emperor or to turn to the local gods in order to have an easy life. And he warns the church to remain true to Christ, tells them that they should be true, even though times are difficult and fearful. We should make believing and staying faithful a priority in our lives, praying for the strength of the Holy Spirit to be with us at all times. Next, John writes that one day God's anger towards sin and evil will be fully unleashed. The power of evil will be defeated, and God will reward those who are with him. This assures us that evil and injustice, even though they are present in so many ways in our world today, will not prevail forever. And our reward is the same reward given to the persecuted Christians of 2,000 years ago, that of eternal life. And finally, John assures his readers that one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth. All those who believe in him will live in peace and safety. There will be no more suffering and no more tears. And that is our great hope too. When we have confidence that Christ will one day return, we can follow with determination. So in the book of Revelation, John gives us the hope that the kingdom of God will one day be established. It will not be an earthly kingdom. It won't be limited by time, by history, by political boundaries. The kingdom of God will be something different altogether. It will encompass the past, the present, and the future. We are all actively working towards that kingdom. When we say the Lord's Prayer and we say the words, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," that is our witness to working towards the kingdom. And those words shouldn't just be empty words. The kingdom of God in the future will be when judgment has been given, and those who accept the will of God and follow his teaching will become full members of God's family. "I am the Alpha and the Omega," says the Lord God, "who was and who is to come." Are we looking like John forward to that kingdom of God? Are we like those first Christians, listening to the warning words of Revelation and taking its message to our hearts? Are we listening to the words of hope as well? Are we listening to the encouragement that John gives us? The one who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
We're going to continue our service now by spending some time in prayer. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you have given it to us in the Bible so that we can read it, so that we can find out about you, so that we can see your promises for us, so that we can see and make sense of life here today as it is, so that we can make sense of what's going to happen in the future as well. And Father, we thank you for the book of Revelation. Father, I guess some of us might be feeling a bit relieved that we've finally come to the end of it because it's so confusing. Others of us might feel like we've just started to get our teeth into it and want to know more. But Father, we thank you for the things that you teach us through this book. We thank you, Father, that first and foremost, that we see that you are King, that you are greater, that you are in complete control of everything, that nothing takes you by surprise. That because of that, Father, that we can trust in you, that we know, Lord, that you care for us. Father, we thank you for the way in which it shows us what will happen, that Jesus will one day return, that he'll return as a lion, just as we were singing in a song earlier, that he will come to defeat evil, and that in the meantime, that you will give us strength to continue. Father, we know that you therefore ask us to remain faithful to you in the meantime. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to do that. Please, Father, would you give us the strength to keep going, that we would be true to Christ and to the way in which he asks us to live, that we would see you holding us and keeping us through the difficult times and through the fearful times, just as these original readers struggled 2,000 years ago. Please, Father, would you encourage us that we can keep going even when we are struggling. And Father, we pray that as we do that, would we remember that one day when Jesus does return, that all evil will be defeated, that evil will be completely put to death, that death itself will die. And Father, we thank you that the positive promise as well, that the righteous will be rewarded, that we will gain eternal life, not because we are righteous in and of ourselves, but because of Jesus, we are counted as righteous, and we will spend a wonderful eternity with you. Thank you, Father, for that. And Father, we thank you also that we have a new heaven and a new earth to look forward to, that this old world, with all of the rubbish ways, Lord, in which it's decaying and falling apart, that that will cease, that we have a new heaven and a new earth to look forward to, where there will be no more death or crying or pain. So, Father, we thank you for those wonderful things. And, Father, we pray at the moment for Christians, Lord, around the world who are struggling, like Christians in Egypt, who are struggling, Father, they are being persecuted for their faith. And Father, we thank you for things like the Barnabas Fund, who help us, Father, to know what is going on in parts of the world where it's difficult to be a Christian, that raises money to help them. And also, Father, helps us to know how to pray. So, Father, we pray the prayer that they have given for today. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray today for the Christian girls and young women of Egypt who have been abducted and forced into marriage with Muslim men against their will. Lord, we pray that you will protect our sisters, cut off from all those they know and love, forced to sign statements that they have converted to Islam, and perhaps badly treated and abused in the households where they now live. May they lean on you for comfort and strength. Would you make yourself known to them, just as we have been reading today in Revelation? Please would you protect them, and please would you bring them safely back to their own families. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we pray also that as the weather gets colder, and as we see those who are homeless as we walk around town, and remember that there are plenty of other homeless people in our nation, Father, we pray for them. We know, Lord, that many of them have not chosen to have homeless lives, but that they find themselves in situations against their will. Father, we thank you for charities like the Whitechapel Centre. We thank you, Father, for the work that they do with people who are sleeping rough, who are living in temporary accommodation, and those who are at risk of homelessness. Father, we thank you for the Whitechapel Centre, for the drop-in that they have, for the food that they give to people, for the showers, for the ability to wash clothes as well. Thank you, Father, for the support and the advice that they offer people in dangerous situations and difficult situations. And Father, we know it's not easy, as many of these people who are struggling have complex needs, maybe even mental health issues as well. So Father, we pray on that you would give the Whitechapel Centre and the people that work for them wisdom to know how best to help the people who come through their doors. And Father, we pray for those who are struggling at this time, that you would bring them to places like the Whitechapel Centre, that they would be able to gain help and hope in their difficult situation. So we pray, Father, that you would be at work. Amen. We pray on, Father, for our own church, and we thank you, Father, for all the various events that we've got lined up over the next month with Advent. We thank you, Father, for our Christmas fair next Saturday. We thank you for the fun that it is with that. We thank you, Lord, for all the various Advent events, for the Christingle, for the carol services, for the Christmas lunch together. Father, we thank you for them, and we pray, Lord, that they would be a great encouragement for us as a congregation, that they wouldn't just get us into the festive spirit, but, Father, they would also be pointing us to you, pointing us to your Son, Jesus Christ. And, Father, we pray as many people come into our church over the next month with these various services and events, that through the things that we say, not just from the front, but through the welcome that we give them in the pews, the way in which we chat to them and get to know them, that many people, Father, who come in through these doors, would get to know the hope that we have, that they would see the wonderful news of Jesus Christ, and would they want to put their trust in him. We pray that, Father, in your name's sake. Amen. And finally, Father, we pray on for our own congregation and those known to us who are suffering at this time. Father, for those who are ill or who struggle with health more at this time, please, Father, would you protect them? Would you help them? Would you use us, Father, to give them comfort and to give them hope, to reach out to them? Please, Father, use us. Please, would you build them up? And Father, we also pray for those who are recently bereaved, like the family of Bill Reagan, and those, Father, for whom Christmas is a difficult time. Please, Father, would they know the hope that only you can give? Would you encourage them? Would you strengthen them? And Father, we pray that all of these things would happen for your glory and in Jesus' name, whom we pray in his name. Amen.
Thanks, Matt. And so we've come to the end of our service. Just before we finish up with our final song, that's Revelation finished for now. Any queries, any questions, any comments just before we move on? Does anyone want to make a comment about anything on Revelation? I thought about the past 7 weeks. Anything that struck you or stuck out or been particularly helpful or particularly challenging? Anyone? No? Oh, Matt has.
I just want to check if any of the really difficult questions crop up, are you happy to answer them rather than me?
I was going to point them to you, but there you go. Right, if you have, then do speak to... Oh, hang on, Liz has, right.
It's not a question. I promise it's not a setup. I still remember my husband reminding us of the Lord Jesus coming back in all his glory and saying, imagine if you turned around on Otterspool Prom and saw those blazing eyes. And I'm still thinking about that and just reveling in how powerful Jesus is. He's not just that baby in the manger.
No, it's not gentle Jesus, meek and mild, is he? Not at all. Let's stand and let's sing our last hymn together.